Hi, I'm Not Tan, otherwise known as Matt. Okay, we're going to be reading from Ezekiel chapter 36, starting at verse 22, and it's on page 1239 if you've got one of the black church Bibles. So Ezekiel 36, starting at verse 22. Therefore, say to the Israelites, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. It is not for your sake, people of Israel, that I am going to do these things, but for the sake of my holy name, which you have profaned among the nations where you have gone. I will show the holiness of my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, the name you have profaned among them. Then the nations will know that I am the Lord, declares the Sovereign Lord, when I am proved holy through you before their eyes. For I will take you out of the nations. I will gather you from all the countries and bring you back into your own land. I'll sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. Then you will live in the land I gave your ancestors. You will be my people and I will be your God.
If you want to flick forward a couple of hundred pages, 300 pages, we're on page 1512. And the reading is from John chapter 3, verse 1. Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him. Jesus replied, Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. How can someone be born when they are old? Nicodemus asked. Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born. Jesus answered, Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to the Spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. How can this be? Nicodemus asked. You are Israel's teacher, said Jesus, and you do not understand these things. Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up. That is what everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of the light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God.
Good morning, everyone. Nice to see you. Anton, our senior minister, was scheduled to speak today. He's a bit sick this week, and he's here today, but his voice is just not up to it. And so rather than him giving the talk in sign language, I'm subbing in. We made this decision just under 24 hours ago, and so the material that follows is kind of 90% Anton, 10% Tom, and maybe experienced listeners will be able to work out which bit is which. I'm a bit croaky, but my voice is still functional. I'm okay, so let's see how we go. If you are invited to a party and you don't know anyone there, what is your strategy? You know the host because they invited you, but you can't talk to the host all night. What's your plan for that party where you don't know anyone? Who are you going to talk to? The oracle that is Instagram gives this suggestion. Go up to the host who you know and ask them, who are three people at this party that I should meet and why? The host will probably have a good answer for you. They will know who'd be good for you to meet. And then you've got three people to introduce yourself to and hopefully have a great night. Try it next time. Today there is someone that I think you should meet. There is someone that I think you will find really interesting. Come and meet Jesus. Some of you may know him quite well. Others of you may have heard some things about him but never met him personally. Either way, come and meet Jesus. Now, unlike at a party, I can't just bring you across the room to meet him in person. But we can meet Jesus through the pages of the Bible. In the Bible, we can meet Jesus virtually as we read about people who met him face to face. And that's what we'll be doing in all of the series of sermons this term. Now, as we do this today, we'll need to virtually relocate ourselves. We'll need to move from AD 2024 to AD 29. We'll need to move from here in North Epping to Jerusalem. And this story is set at night, so let's head there at night. Okay, we are ready to meet Jesus. Now, there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him. So here we have this character Nicodemus. As well as having a distinctive name, it says that he is a Pharisee. These were the religious conservatives of the time. Not only that, Nicodemus is part of the ruling council in Jerusalem. He's a prestigious man, and he comes to meet Jesus. Now, when you meet somebody new, do you have a good opening line that you normally use? Well, the Oracle Google gives this advice. It says you should compliment something about the person. This could be their outfit, their jewellery, or something else that you notice about them. For example, you could say, I love your necklace. Where does it come from? Nicodemus does exactly that. Not the necklace bit. But he compliments Jesus by addressing him as Rabbi, which means teacher. And this is fairly significant for Nicodemus because he himself is a teacher and pretty high up in the rankings. But he calls Jesus Rabbi and acknowledges that God is with him. Nicodemus had obviously heard some stuff about Jesus before, like most of us have. He'd heard about the miraculous things that Jesus was doing, turning water into wine and things like that. And so he compliments Jesus. This is a good start to the conversation, right? How will Jesus respond to this compliment? What will Jesus' opening line be? Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." Well, what kind of response is this? Nicodemus has just praised him, and instead of a thank you or a polite reply, Jesus gives this. What is he doing? He's obviously not one for small talk. Jesus cuts straight to the chase and wants to talk to Nicodemus about how to enter God's kingdom. Entering God's kingdom, that's a heavy and a significant topic. This is about how to enjoy God's blessings for all of eternity. That's what it is to enter God's kingdom. Being a religious guy, Nicodemus would have thought that he was all set to be part of God's kingdom. He would have been confident that God's kingdom was his destination. I wonder if you're the same. Are you someone who feels confident about entering God's kingdom? And if so, why? Is it because I'm a pretty decent person, I love my family, I try to help people where I can, I do a decent job of organising Mother's Day? Or is it I'm going pretty well with God, I'm serving God in all kinds of religious activities? Or maybe you're someone who has the opposite kind of confidence. Maybe you're confident that you could never enter God's kingdom. Maybe if you met Jesus, you'd have to make your excuses and get away because of the guilt that underlines your life, the knowledge of the pain that you've caused other people. Maybe you share Nicodemus' confidence, maybe you don't. Let's look again at what Jesus says about it. Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. Nicodemus needed to hear this from Jesus. Maybe you do too. But born again, what is this born again idea? Nicodemus is clearly very confused. He says, how can someone be born when they are old? Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born. I think he's totally grossed out at this point. He's like, have you ever met my mother? Now, hello to all the mums in the room today. Happy Mother's Day to all of you. Mums do all kinds of things for their kids. They make all kinds of sacrifices. But I'm guessing a sacrifice you would really not want to make is to have your kid go back inside your tummy and be born again. I can confidently make that claim. That is not your ideal Mother's Day, is it? Thankfully, that is not what Jesus is actually talking about. He explains further about being born again. Jesus answered, very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. Let's have a look at verse 6 closely. It's talking here about two types of birth. Flesh gives birth to flesh. That's your normal physical birth that happens to babies. Then there's this other birth thing. The Spirit gives birth to spirit. So we're dealing with some kind of spiritual birth here. This is actually what we heard about in our first Bible reading today, in the book of Ezekiel. It was from centuries earlier when God's ancient people were in the depths of disgrace and exile, and God made a promise to them. He said, I will sprinkle clean water on you and you'll be clean. I'll cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I'll remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. Jesus is telling Nicodemus that he spiritually needs to be reborn. Spiritually, he needs a whole fresh start. We all need this spiritual rebirth. And this spiritual rebirth is something that God does to us and in us. Unless God gives us this spiritual birth, we will never enter his kingdom. People think all the time that Christianity is all about what we need to do. They think it's fundamentally about don't do this, make sure you always do that. Love your neighbour, love your enemy, etc., etc. And don't get me wrong, godly living is an essential part of the Christian life. But godly living is not the thing that qualifies you to enter God's kingdom. Fundamentally, it's not about what you've done, but about what God does in you. It's about God giving you this whole new start, new birth by his Holy Spirit. Now, Nicodemus, despite being a well-trained and prestigious guy, he is a bit slow on the uptake here. In verse 9, he says, how can this be? And so Jesus explains a bit more about how it works. Let's look at verse 13. says, "No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man." He's speaking about himself. "Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, so that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him." What has God done to bring about this new birth? He has sent his own Son, Jesus, into the world. And Jesus uses a story from the Old Testament to describe what he is going to achieve. This story is from even further back in the Old Testament, way, way back in Numbers chapter 21. Back then, God had just miraculously rescued his ancient people from slavery in Egypt. And this guy Moses was leading them through the desert towards the promised land. But as they traveled through the desert, God's ancient people just didn't trust God. They didn't think that God would actually look after them. They complained and whinged about their circumstances. They didn't treat God as God. And I wonder if that resonates with you. I'd say that at one time or another, all of us fail to treat God as God. We so often waltz through life thinking we can do it on our own. When things get tough, we grumble and complain. We look to all sorts of things other than God to give us safety and security. We live our lives to honour ourselves rather than to honour God. All of us fail to treat God as God. Now, back in this Old Testament story, in Moses' time, the whinging of God's people meant that God's judgment fell on them in the form of poisonous snakes. Many of the people got bitten and died. The people realized what was going on. They came to Moses saying, "We've sinned. We shouldn't have done this. Please ask God to take away the snakes." And it says in Numbers 21, God said to Moses, "Make a bronze snake and put it up on a pole. Anyone who is bitten can look at it and live." And so Moses made this bronze snake. He put it up on a pole. When anyone got bitten by a snake and looked up at the bronze snake, they lived. Those who looked up at what was on the pole found salvation and life. Now, I don't know what you make of this ancient Old Testament story. It's a little bit wacky. But Jesus says this story is an illustration of what he has come to do. He says, "Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, so that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him." For us, Jesus is like that bronze snake. As we face the rightful judgment of God, Jesus is the one we can look to for life. Jesus was lifted up on the cross not to save us from the effects of snake bite, not so that we can avoid every challenge of this life, but so that we can have eternal life by entering God's kingdom. This is how we can be born again. This is how we can have that spiritual fresh start with a clean slate, by believing in Jesus lifted up on the cross. This is why we want you to meet Jesus, because he's the one who can bring true and lasting life. But why did God do this? Why did God send his beloved Son down to earth to be lifted up on a cross? Let's look at the famous words of verse 16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son." Why did God do it? Because of his love. Because of his love for the world that rejected him. Isn't that incredible? because of his love for the world that ignored him, the world that had spiraled into seemingly irretrievable evil and decay. In his love for this world, God gave his one and only Son. Now the stakes are high here. At the end of this paragraph, we see that without Jesus, every human being faces condemnation and eternal death. But in his love for the world, God gave his Son to save the world. He gave the gift of his Son so that people in this dark world can have life and light. Eternal life, new life, a fresh start in God's kingdom. Who are those who receive this benefit? It's not those who are born into the right family. It's not those who've lived a good enough life or put on a good enough facade. It's those who believe in Jesus. It's those who've believed for a long time or those who've believed just recently. It's believers who come from a long line of well-behaved people. It's believers who come from a very rough background indeed. It's believers whose lives are a mess. It's believers who still have lots of unanswered questions. Whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. What's that word believe really about? It's a word that gets used all the time. You might meet someone who says, "I believe we've met before." They're saying, "I'm not quite sure." Kids ask each other, "Do you believe in Santa Claus?" They're talking about whether or not he exists. That's not what Jesus is talking about. But a soldier whose patrol leader is about to lead them on a dangerous mission might say to their leader, "I believe in you." They're saying, "I'm willing to entrust myself to your command." And that is what Jesus is talking about. He's talking about trusting that Jesus really is who he says he is. Trusting Jesus when he says there is a problem that only he can solve. Putting your faith in him as the one who's able to trust to save you. Trusting him. That's what it is to believe in Jesus. And the result is eternal life. So we've had our meeting with Jesus through Nicodemus. Nicodemus called him Rabbi, teacher. What has Jesus taught us today? He's taught us that to enter God's kingdom, we need a whole new start. To be born all over again, spiritually speaking. He's taught us that this is something God must do. And what did God do? He gave his Son. He gave his Son. So that if we believe in him, we'll not perish, but have eternal life. And so if you are a believer in Jesus, I want to urge you to keep on rejoicing in this news. Keep marveling at the love of God shown in the gift of his Son. Make sure you don't get distracted into relying on anyone or anything else to be your saviour. But if you're not yet a Christian believer, today, will you hear Jesus' stark claim that there is no life without him? Will you consider his warning that if you're disconnected from him, in the end, the result of that is eternal condemnation? Will you seriously consider his invitation to receive new life, new birth, a fresh start, and life to the full in the kingdom of God? Let's pray. Lord God, we rejoice and we marvel at your amazing love. In your love, you did not withhold even your own Son, but you sent him into our world to bring life and light, to suffer in our place, to bring us new birth. Help us to be those who believe in him.